Hey everybody, how are you guys doing? Kyle, what's up?
Just another day in paradise, you know how it goes.
Here we go.
Alrighty.
Yeah, welcome nice. To another episode of BKRC Podcast.
Yeah, guess who's in the house?
So we're quite happy this week because we're celebrating the first year of SABOSA. Literally, July 4th of 2017 was our first day in business officially. And we had a little opening party then. Kyle was not my friend back in those days, so he didn't show up.
Exactly.
So Gator was. Yeah, Gator was here. So welcome, yes. Gator. Welcome, welcome.
Hello, everybody. How you guys
Thanks
doing?
Thanks for being here. We also have another very special guest. A close friend.
Yeah.
No?
No. Don't go that far. I mean, he's an acquaintance.
Maybe. A close, and really? Wow.
Oh, man.
He's also our Surface team manager. Welcome, James Van Hook.
Hey, what's up?
How you doing?
I'm good.
So, this is the one-year anniversary, so by the time you guys listen to this, it'll be a week since July 4th, but I hope you guys enjoyed your 4th of July. You didn't drink too much, you grilled some good steaks, and didn't burn the house. Today, we have two special guests. We have actually a full house this weekend. We have some good close friends and some business acquaintances, and it's just overall like a great time.
Yes.
We're going to be flying, giving away stuff, are we? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's just going to be a great time. So today we're going to talk about fun flies.
Fun flies.
Fun flies.
You know what? This is like, how many podcasts have I done? Any idea how many podcasts I've done?
I'm going to go out on a limb and say zero.
Oh, I think so. Okay. I think zero. This is my first podcast.
Welcome.
Wow.
Thank you for joining us. Thank you for allowing us to be your first. We appreciate it.
Yeah, welcome, Gator. That's
Thank
good.
You very much.
That's nice.
Thank you very much. I'm excited. I'm so excited.
Are you excited?
I am. Mr. Van Hook, you excited?
Are you excited, Van
Hook? Yeah, it's cool. You know? No. You know, I love podcasts. It's cool to be on one for a change.
So, okay. So, let's talk about fun flies. First of all, the one and most important thing that I have to say about fun flies is fun flies keep the hobby alive, right?
Oh, I agree. So much. You know how I feel about fun flies. I mean, in all honesty, all kidding aside and everything, I mean, my first fun fly was in Mulberry. This has got to be like 10 years ago, which is really sad to say that I've been flying for 10 years and I fly as shitty as I do. Oh, am I allowed to say shitty?
Yeah, shitty.
So 10 years ago, I showed up in Mulberry with a Raptor 30 with training gear on it. You know what I mean? And I'm in a fun fly. You guys are going rrr, 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 all over the freaking place. And I'm... Oh, no hand signals, by the way.
They can't see.
There's no idea what you just did.
And I show up, but I am such a firm believer in the whole fun fly thing. I mean, you know, whether it's OHB or it's just something like the Spring Bash we did or in Virginia with the Fall Mowdown, Hoedown? I think it was Hoedown. I like Hoedown a whole lot better than Mowdown.
The Fall Mowdown.
Mowdown.
But it's when you see all your friends from around the country and things like that that you fly with, that you hang with and talk with. And I think fun flies are such an important part of the hobby that we do.
It kind of re-sparks it, doesn't it? Because like if you go through it where you're just flying alone and it gets boring, then you go to an event, you hang with all your buddies.
Exactly.
You fly together. It creates like a family feeling.
Exactly. That feeling, that camaraderie feeling of that, you know, you're not just, you go out by yourself, it's no fun. But you go out and you may fly 5, 6, 3, 4 times, it doesn't matter. But, and of course, especially the way that we all are, that we give each other so much shit when we fly. Excuse me. But...
It's a good point. You know, we've always said it. I said it back in the day when I was doing Smack Talk with Bobby. And, you know, I think we mentioned it in a couple of podcasts recently that fun flies are what drive the hobby. If people don't go to fun flies, there's nothing to look forward to. You can't, there's a lot of people don't have a club, right? Local club.
Sure.
And or if they do, they don't have friends and buddies that hang out like James, right? That's a classic example for you. You used to have a lot of local guys, and you don't anymore.
Yeah, I pretty much fly alone, so the only time I get to fly with people is, with, you know, at fun flies. So,
And how many guys, how many clubs do we all belong to back in the day? And it was nothing but airplane guys. Not that there's anything wrong with airplane guys, for sure. But there was one or two of us that were, and I used to be an airplane guy for 20 years. And then I saw, you know, Rolando Perez. Remember him, right?
Yeah.
And I saw him fly heli. I'm like, okay, I need to do this. But there's one or two guys that fly helis and all the rest fly airplanes. So when you get your club to do a little get-together,
look, yeah, I agree.
There's 5 or 10 guys, right?
And you get to see the good pilots like Mr. Stacy fly, right? So you get inspired. You get to see new cool maneuvers and things that you kind of want to try. And like a lot of times, it's not really
absolutely
for humans like us. But it still makes you want to try to.
It pushes you.
It motivates you.
It pushes you. You see somebody do something that you could never possibly think that you could do, right? And you're like, oh, how the fuck? I'm sorry. How the heck did he do that? You know, I'm really not clear on the language barrier. Okay, as we all know, because anyone that might be listening knows how I am. So, all right, as far as language goes, right?
It is listed as explicit, so you got to still watch it a little bit.
Thank you.
I think rated R. It's rated R.
I don't
want to
offend anybody. Yeah. I don't want
to. But here's the thing. Go ahead, Kyle.
No, what were we going to say?
No, I was going to say that for the listeners, I'm sure we have listeners that have never been to an event. Never. So to give them a very quick rundown of what an event's all about. You got the little club held events, okay?
Right.
And then you got the larger, more commercialized events.
Sure.
They're all equally important in my eyes. But I think the most fun you can have is when you actually go to a regular club event.
Agreed.
Because that's when you really get to spend one-on-one time with people. Like that's where the fun is. That's when you hang. That's when the pros and the guys that are sponsored and everybody else comes together as one. Like everybody's a friend. Everybody helps each other. Then you have the commercialized events like IRCHA and like OHB, as used to be known. Where, you know, sure, you still get a chance to see a lot. Actually, you go there more to see stuff than you go there to have fun and interact with each other. You go there to see what the vendors are showing, what's the latest and greatest product, what is going to be the hottest demo flight from these pros, right? But you don't necessarily go there just to chill and have fun as a laid-back event. So with that said, I think each kind of event has its own place. You have the club held event, and then you got the commercial event. And normally, if you go to a club held event, it's typically a very laid back atmosphere. Everybody can fly. It doesn't matter. You know, I hear a lot of feedback from people who say, well, I'm not a great pilot. I just hover. Doesn't matter. Bring your helicopter and hover it. Who cares?
Right.
Go towards the end of the fly line just because you don't want to hug the center line when somebody wants to fly either 3D or sport flying. But go to the end if you're just hovering and just hover and ask questions and get feedback from the other pilots, whether they're pros, whether they're friends, whether they're somebody that's a little bit better than you or even a little bit worse than you. We all can learn from each other.
I mean, right? I've been countless times at a flight station waiting for someone to fly, and before me, they're doing hovering in circuits, and they're like, oh, I don't want to fly if you're behind me. Like, why? Why are you nervous? I was where you were like 18 years ago.
Sure.
We all started out and we all worked our way up. So if you have any questions, like that's what I'm there for. If you have questions or if you want tips, I mean, like don't be nervous if Jamie Robertson or Duncan Bossian or any of these guys are standing behind you because they were all where you were at some point. Have fun.
I thoroughly agree.
It's not a big deal. Definitely.
It's everybody started at the same place. I'm still at the same place I started, so it's kind of hard for me to go any farther than that. You know what I mean? But that's only me. But most guys, and I just talked to somebody yesterday, the day before, who said, oh, I don't want to go to a fun fly. You know, I don't want to look stupid in front of everybody. I'm like, listen, are you kidding me? Please. Everybody did the same exact thing that you did. So you just got to go out. And I think that the guys like Kyle and Bert and Bobby and Jamie and Kyle Dahl and all the rest, I think in some way, you know, and Mr. Van Hook, James Van Hook, by the way, too.
He's an excellent pilot.
I think in some ways, I think all the other pilots that are pros really respect the fact that somebody would go out and not be that smack guy. They can't do all those things and stuff like that. That would really, you know, that respect the fact that somebody that can't do all that stuff, all right, is going out and making the effort. making the effort.
Yeah, I agree.
It's all about having fun. I like the small events because you can, like Bert said, interact with people. Because Urcha, I hate to like say this and sound funny, but Urcha's a job because it's demos and promotion and all that stuff. But at a small event, Bert and I share a tent. We're just out there on the flight line, and then
but it's a job for you. But it might not be a job to just a guy that wants to go and look at the new product. So
correct.
So I do agree with you. You and I enjoy the small events more than the large events. But I think for just the average person that's just going to an event for the first time, or has only been to a couple of events, I think they equally can enjoy. And I think Urcha is something that everybody has to experience.
Yes.
No matter if you're like a newbie or if you've never been to Urcha, you have got to make the trip at least once.
It is insane.
At least once.
It is insane.
And granted that the hobby, as we all know, is not at the levels that it used to be back in the day, but it's still an event that everybody has to go to at least once. If you're into helicopters and you've been doing this for more than a couple of years, and you're flying around, and you're enjoying it, and you've seen videos, you have got to go to Urcha.
You have to.
And not to mention the fact that I remember the first event I went to. This is in 2005. 2004 or 5, I can't remember, maybe 5. Clint's birthday bash. Clint Akins, he works for Castle Creations right now nowadays, but he used to be the team manager for... I think it was team manager for Miniature Aircraft. Maybe not around that time. Maybe he became that later. But regardless, he was a team member for Miniature Aircraft. And I went to his birthday bash in Statesboro, Georgia. This is, I think, 2005. So it puts it, it's 13 years now. And I never seen, back in the day, Eric Larson was a very well-known pilot. I always looked up to him. We were flying flybars, nitro flybars. I mean, there was nothing electric that was powerful enough back in those days. And it was Flybart. And I remember seeing him do hurricanes, you know, 6 inches off the ground and perfect control with a Flybart 700 class helicopter. And I was like, whoa. And then I saw Matt Botos. I was like, I've seen Matt Botos' videos too. And I saw him live. And it's like, you know, we had this interview with Tarek a week ago. And it's what I said during the interview. I think I made a comment that the videos don't ever do justice to the real life flights. Period.
Right in front of.
So
no, I agree. When I first time I ever saw anybody fly a heli, like I only thought, okay, they hover, they fly around in circuits and this and that. And I saw the guys like, and this is a long time ago, you know, but like Rolando Perez and Cliff Hyatt, those guys were doing smack what I thought.
And they're primarily F3C guys.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, my God, I got to do that. Mm-hmm. I still can't. But, you know, but I might one day. You know?
Well, so Bert brought up a cool point, and I think that's something we should all share, is what was the first event you went to, and what was it like? Because it's changed over the years.
So yeah, let's start with James. Come on.
James, what was your first event?
He hasn't said a word.
Yeah, tell us about it.
Yeah, so my first event was pretty much the same one Bert was just talking about. I used to go to Clint's. He's about 45 minutes to an hour away.
Were you
from
there?
Where I live. Yeah.
Okay. When I went in 05?
Yeah.
I never met you, though. Really? I didn't get to meet you until
we met
3 years later or something. Yeah.
But yeah, to me, that was my first event and probably some of the most fun times, you know. The go off zone type thing they used mm-hmm. to do, you know, like in the end of the day,
explain
everybody.
That. What's yeah. that? Never heard of it.
What?
Well, explain the go off zone.
Oh, just like the end of the day, everybody would just, all the top pilots would get together and see who could fly lower, harder, faster, basically come as close to crashing as possible without actually crashing.
That's fun.
And, I mean, crazy stuff would happen. You remember Henry Caldwell flying under the tent, you know, doing the inverted auto under the tent stuff, all happened right there in Statesboro. And that was, to me, my first and still most memorable thing, seeing Marcus Kim fly. That was like my idol learning to fly.
And they used to do the go-off zone at Birmingham, too.
Yep.
Yeah, Birmingham. Yeah. That was good times. Yeah. Good times.
So did you fly at your first event, or were you just a spectator?
I flew, but like you said, you know, like super nervous or whatever, yeah. But you know, I'd go with a buddy and would just go off to the end of the flight line and hover, you know, maybe flip it upside down or whatever, but that's about it.
Yeah.
What was your first event, Kyle?
Whew, I'm sure there's some that I can't remember because we're going back 18 years now.
And you were like 3?
I was going to say
about
5.
Maybe yeah, 5. 4 or 5. The first
maybe 5.
The first memorable one was Urcha 2005 for me.
Wow.
Yeah, my dad and I and then a group of buddies that we flew with all made the trip We had walkie-talkies. Because cell phones weren't like a big thing back then, so we had walkie-talkies to like communicate. All right, bathroom break, next exit.
So we on the you mean on the road?
On the road, drive. Yeah. Okay, gotcha. Yeah, because we were following each other the whole way. So we went all the way there, and you know, we had a tent, and you know, I was just a nobody at that point. Just me and my dad had helicopters, and we were flying. And the most memorable thing for that event for me was the noontime demos, because that was the time. If you wanted to see a top pilot fly, that was the time, noon.
There so you saw Burt Kammerer.
I saw Burt Kammerer.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, Burt Kammerer, you know, the Bobby Watts, the Matt Botos, the Henry Caldwell.
Pete Neotis.
Yeah. Marcus Kim, Curtis Youngblood.
Curtis Youngblood, yeah, absolutely. Everybody. Alan Zabel, of course. Yeah. And no doubt, what's his name? Eric Larson. We were talking about him, yeah.
Because demos at IRCHA have changed over the years. Before, it was noontime, and that was the only demo you got.
Yeah,
but now there's power hours where every hour you're going to see a top pilot fly.
And that brings up a good point that I want to touch up on. IRCHA got so busy because I remember in 2006, the pilot count was 300. And by 2000, I might be off on this, 2008, actually, I'm pretty accurate because that's the first year I was sponsored by a line going to IRCHA. Mm-hmm. By 2008, the pilot count had jumped from 300 to like something ridiculous. It over doubled. Yeah. I don't know if it was 700, 800, something like that.
Yeah.
And so IRCHA became this super commercial event where they started giving sponsors 1 hour time slots at center stage. Mm-hmm. So Scorpion would take from 9 to 10, and then a line would go from 10 to 11, and then like whatever, Hirobo from 11 to 12. And obviously over the years, it's different sponsors. But it's become so commercialized. And I hate to say this, I'm not trying to bash IRCHA, but it's almost time to hit that reset button and try to make it more laid back, because the hobby, after all, as a business, is not where it was 5 or 6, 7 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's almost like it's one of the reasons why we stopped the Orlando helicopter blowout. And I feel like I should explain that very quickly and briefly.
You should explain that very briefly.
When we started the blowout in 2008, we started as a good old fun fly. Our first year, we had 130 pilots. People showed up, they have fun, you know, we sold raffle tickets, thanks to the sponsors, we had a lot of prizes, we get prizes away, everybody had a ball. Next year, same thing. By the time we hit 2010 or 11, we had grown to almost 200 pilots in size. And I remember one year, I'm not going to mention names or sponsors, but we had a sponsor that brought in like 25 flags, and they put it all over the field. They're not in business anymore, but it was an orange flag. And yeah. And actually, the person that was running that didn't even have to do anything with that company years later. But I had complaints from other sponsors. Well, why are they doing this? This is like a quote unquote sponsor show, and not. It's like, well, you're free to do so the same. And so Carrie and I spoke after that event. We said, listen, we got to lay down the rule of the law. We can't just let sponsors come in and put 25 flags because the other sponsor complains. We need to come up with rules. We need to do, you know, if you're a sponsor, you get so many flags, so many banners, you get so much demo time, you get this, you get that. And then over the course of the next couple of years, then we had more sponsors that we would know what to do with. So we started charging a sponsorship fee, a minimum donation amount for the raffle, and we made it quite structured, not to the point of IRCHA, but it became a structured event.
Commercialized.
It became commercialized. And it got to that point where we had to hit the reset button and start over because the hobby is not at a level today where it was 5, 6, 7 years ago. So we had to do something. And instead of just changing the event, we just decided to just can the event. Mm-hmm. And thanks to you, Gator, you're the new vice president of Torches. We're going to have a new event, right?
We are going to have a new event.
What is the event called? We already discussed this.
Should we call it the
it's the winter.
The winter bash.
Winter bash.
Just it's like kind of like bash. The spring bash.
It's a very original. Very original name. Why not?
I know it's original. You guys know how I feel about fun flies. I think that you know whatever we're doing in Florida, people in Michigan, people in Illinois, everybody needs to do their part to get a little, okay, with all the hand motions, okay? I'm fucking it. I'm Italian. I can't help. I'm Italian. But everybody needs to do their part. We're going to do an event in December at Torches because it's not going to be like OHB. It's going to be a lot more laid back. It's going to be just about people hanging out, flying.
It's just a good old time. Just a good old team. And I felt like the blowout had become, like you said, commercialized event. And it had grown to the point where like it was either changing it drastically or just letting it go. And I feel like a 10-year run for an event was a really good run.
It's amazing what you guys did.
Going back to Urcha doesn't have that luxury. They can't just say, we're just going to can it. And the next year, we'll call it the Muncie Helicopter Festival. They have to adapt to the times. And that's difficult, I think.
I think adapting to the times is very difficult because you have such a reputation to uphold. So whatever you do that's different, then everybody's going to compare.
Let me say something else, too, that I feel is very important. Urcha sees demand for sponsorship slots, right? Why? There are a few companies in the hobby that have enough disposable income to throw at an event. Not necessarily because the business revenue is there, but because they have plain money and it's a hobby to them. But when you have that kind of disposable income that you can throw at an event, regardless of what the outcome is in terms of the actual business return, then who cares? You just do it anyway. And there's a lot of companies like that. And a lot of them come and go. Some of them have been around for many years, but a lot of them come and go. I've seen companies come and go. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we had that interview with Matt Bodos several weeks ago. And Matt nailed it down. It's like, support the companies that are in the hobby for the long run. And the fact that they're probably not blowing tens of thousands of dollars at Urcha or at OHB or at some of these events or in video productions or in whatever it is or otherwise does not necessarily mean they're not going to be around to support you 5 or 10 years down the road. On the other hand, there's companies that come and go all the time. I mean, I can name 10 names that have been gone, you know, in the last 2 or 3 years that, and they came in full force, they threw hundreds of thousands of dollars or tens of thousands of dollars in promotion, and they didn't last. Mm-hmm. So the Urcha committee is seeing this as like, whoa, there's still demand. Sponsors are paying money. That's not a clear indication of where the market is in terms of your return. Because for a company to go to Urcha, it costs a lot of money. I mean, we're talking $10,000, $15,000, $20,000. Mm-hmm. And as a business, now I'm not talking as a hobbyist, as a hobbyist, you guys have to go because it's a lot of fun. But as a business owner, it takes a lot to get 20 grand's worth.
And what do you get out of the 20 grand when you go?
Exactly. That's my point. What do you get?
I want to touch on that real quick. Something that's big. When you're a sponsor, what I'm getting at is the demos, the flying demos. So there's two sides to look at it from. There's the consumer side and then there's the team pilot side. So the consumer side is no matter what hour it is, you will always have a power hour and a demo to look at. Okay, well, from the pilot side, I don't want to complain. Like, I have the easiest job in the world. But there was a year at Urcha where from noon until 6 p.m. I had back-to-back power hour demos. Now, what did that mean? Well, it means I was conserving because I can't crash in the first demo and then be out of it for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
But if you have a noontime demo and you have one flight to do, you can push a lot harder and you get a more exciting flight.
And with that said, I totally agree that back in the day when they had a one-hour, two-hour noontime demo from 12 to 2, everybody went to center to watch because that was the only opportunity they had to see Kyle Stacey or Pete Neotis back in the day or Curtis Youngblood or whomever.
Yeah.
Now it's just a constant demo. I mean, I walked down, not to rag on Urcha, I don't want to be that way, but
no, I don't think you should.
I walked down center stage and I've seen 2-3 people watching the demos.
That's when I went to my not to interrupt you, I'm sorry, but when I went to my first Urcha, which was like 5 years ago. Right? It was the whole 1 hour thing or 2 hour thing, right? Mm-hmm. In the last couple of years where they did it was an hour for this company, an hour for that company. You walk up in the stands, you only see 5 or 6 people.
Yeah.
Or 10 people. Yeah. It wasn't like the whole, I mean, listen, we were all sitting in the grass and we're sitting in lawn chairs and everything else watching it, you know, 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. But last year, the year before, I don't know how long ago, so I don't want to, you know.
Yeah, but it wasn't the same.
Wasn't right? the same.
Yeah, it's not the same.
Yeah, but the wow factor is not there, right? I mean, did you go sit down and watch demos? Probably not, because you could go at any time and see these same guys fly over and over and over if you wanted to.
And it
takes the excitement away for me, I think.
Well, and I want to see one or two guys. I want to see one or two guys from a company. I don't want to see 15 guys from a company. I know that sounds terrible, okay, but...
Well, that's the thing. Like, say your favorite pilot, for example, is Kyle Dahl. Well, you probably have like six chances to watch him, because you can do a demo for Scorpion, for Mikado, for Optipower. Like, it almost takes the urgency away from like watching, because it's like, well, if I don't watch now, you know, I'll give it 2 hours.
Get to watch later.
Yeah, like give it 2 hours, I'll watch
when,
it again.
When it was 12 to 2, when they lined up the 10 best pilots like there, then everybody was there, because they knew if they weren't there, they might catch that same pilot down the flight line later in the day, but it would not be
a
guarantee.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be a guarantee, and they knew that pilot was going to push really hard during the demo, because that's the only formal demo he had to do. So it was going to go balls to the wall.
Yeah, you got three minutes, just push it.
Yeah, push as hard as you could.
Well, the other side of it, the other side too, is, I mean, think about it, right? If I want to see Kyle Stacey fly, Alan Szabo, you know, Kyle Dahl, whatever, now I've taken 3 or 4 hours out of my day because I have to go watch their time slot.
That's true.
Right? Yeah. And I'm not getting to enjoy the fun fly to fly. I'm sitting there for hours watching demos, which that's great and wonderful, but we're at a fun fly to fly.
I totally, totally agree. These are great points. But with that said, regardless, you guys have to go, because
you have to go.
Yeah, you have to go. If you've never been, you have to go. You have to go. And after you go for the first time, you can draw your own conclusions and decide if you want to go back or if you don't.
Yeah.
But you have to draw that conclusion for yourselves.
Have to. But more than anything else, I think that there's a couple of events a year. Okay. Now, it used to be OHB, which is no longer. Okay. And it's IRCHA. That you get to see people. Like, okay, me personally. Let's just talk about me. That I get to see people from all around the world. Once or twice a year, that I just don't get to, you know, I may talk to them on Facebook, this and that, a few text messages here and there. But that's the only time that you get to hang with the freaking people, okay?
Yeah.
That you get to see and talk about and everything else. So when you meet them and you hang with them, you have maybe one or two cocktails, maybe three or four, maybe a brief light or two. I'm not really sure, but, you know, it's the once or twice a year that you get to hang with these people. Yeah. You know, they come from all over the world. How many countries can we name?
Oh, my God. I don't know. 30, 20, 30, 40, 50. I don't know. It depends. But, yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
But with all that said, we're as BK, as the company BK Designs, BK Hobbies, SAB USA, we're still sponsoring IRCHA this year. But I feel like it's important that we make reference to this, and we comment on this. Don't you agree, Kyle?
Yeah, let's do it.
We're going to sponsor IRCHA this year like we always have, but my first IRCHA as a sponsor, I wasn't really in the business of RC, but I was a team pilot for miniature aircraft, 2006. Then I became a team pilot for a line, 2007, 8, 9, I believe, and possibly 10. And then my wife, Susie, was working for Ready Heli, and she became a sponsor of IRCHA, I think, in 2009. I remember she showed up with Edge Blades, and I told her, babe, you're never going to sell these things. Edge became the best-selling blade ever during that period. I can't say in the history of RC, but during that period. And so we've been, you know, directly or indirectly, I've been associated with IRCHA in one way or another as a business, because even though I wasn't really dealing with IRCHA directly, my wife was. So I kind of used to know all the ins and outs of what's going on there.
Sure.
When we started BK Designs with BK Servo in the beginning, we sponsored IRCHA. We've been sponsoring IRCHA and showing up as a formal sponsor every year ever since. Every year it takes, not necessarily the financial aspect of it, because, okay, you got to spend in the sponsorship, you got to donate product, you got to, fly yourself there, you got to, like, help pay for a hotel or travel or whatever to the people that are helping you. You know, if I can think of it, you know, anywhere between $10,000 and $20,000, it depends on the year. But that necessarily is not the end of the world. What really takes, for me, takes the icing on the cake in terms of what makes IRCHA difficult for us is the fact that I personally have to spend an entire day inside a tent. And people walk in and, you know, we ring the register and we sell a helicopter and or whatever, a servo, and it's okay. But, you know, I run out to the fly line because it's our demo time. We do a demo and then I run back into the tent. Oh, we got to be at the tent. We got to be at the tent. We got a lot of stuff out there. Who's taking care of the tent? It's difficult. We're a small business. You know, we're family owned. It's not easy.
Yeah.
So I feel like we've missed out on spending time at the flight line with customers.
With your people.
Yeah. Hanging out, customers, team pilots, answering real questions. Maybe buddy boxing somebody. Maybe like checking their helicopter out for them or giving them feedback or them watching us fly and asking questions and getting that one-on-one interaction we are not able to get when we have to be in a tent from 9 to 5 or 9 to 6 or 8 to 6.
Because it's not 9 to 6 or 9 to 5. It's all day.
It's all day.
From 7 a.m. when you get there in the morning until 10 o'clock at night. After the demos, after the night fly, after you pack everything in, you know, and by the end of the day, you're done. You're shot. You're done.
Yeah, it's done. It's right? Over. So
how much have we got to hang?
You know so, what I mean? No, I agree. So what we're doing this year is totally different. We're still sponsoring the event. If the event board allows us to sponsor the event, we will sponsor it. We're more than happy to support it. But we're setting up down the line. We're not going to have a formal, quote-unquote, sponsor tent full of product. You know, our products are being represented by the two main vendors that I know are going to show up. Heli Direct and Only Fine Helis. They're going to have SAB.
Two great vendors.
Yeah, they're going to have SAB. They're going to have BK Servo Switch. They're going to have everything else we stock. It's not a problem. So we don't need to have a tent to sell product. They can sell the product for us. We're going to spend our time and effort and our money hanging with customers, having fun. We're going to grill some burgers. We're going to make it. We're going to bring a big grill. So anybody that wants to eat with us, they can come and hang. We'll throw them a free burger if we have any left. And I know Gator will eat most of them. Maybe Van Hook.
That might not be true. Yeah. We'll eat a few, right? Yeah.
But the point of matter is we're just going to hang and support our customers. We don't get to do that when we have to focus on manning a tent all day. Don't you agree? So, if you guys are going to EarthChat, look us up. We'll be more than willing to hang with you, talk to you, answer any questions you may have, whether you want to bitch at us for something we did wrong, whether you want to praise us for something we did right.
Bitching's okay.
Yeah.
The bitching is okay, of course. Because sometimes if you have I don't want to say a complaint, a problem or an issue, sometimes if you bring it up to us that we can talk to you and figure out that it's really not
and we can make it right issue. And we can make it right
give us the opportunity to fix it.
Feedback baby.
But this is all about having fun. I feel like events need to be fun. So we're going to be there having fun with all of you that want to be a part of our fun. You're more than welcome. Stop by, find us. We're not going to be around center. We will go to center, I'm sure, on occasion. We might, you know, Kyle
might
have to
the center. I promise you,
Kyle might have to do a demo or two. I don't know. I will be there supporting our vendors. We want to support the event, so we'll be there supporting EarthChat. If EarthChat wants us to help with something, we will be there to help. But this is about you guys. This is about us spending time with you and not just being behind a tent trying to make a couple of bucks, right?
Yeah, we're just going to just have fun. Kick back.
So change it up. Come on down and join us. And what do you think? What do you think, Gator?
I think it's amazing.
What do you think, Van Hook? Amazing.
I think it'll be awesome.
So Van Hook is Mr. Hook.
Mr. Hook.
Yeah. Mr. Hook. That's right, Mr. Hook.
That was the year at EarthChat when Bobby and I had Smack FPV. What a great venture we had together. Beautiful. It was such a profitable business venture. So, Mr. Hook came over to the fly line to fly. Did you come over to fly?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Is that when we gave you the nickname Mr. Hook?
It was, because you had to have an FPV name to fly in the FPV area.
Yeah, if you're flying FPV racing.
And I had no handle or nickname. So
no, so nickname. Mr. Hook. Just get rid of the van. Call it Hook. Mr. Hook.
The Hook.
The Hook.
The Hook.
Anyway.
The Hook.
So what else we got?
Wonderful.
So.
Huh? What do you think? What
else? Well, you know, I would like to ask everybody that listens. You know, when we were in, Virginia? I got to quit that. Anyway, you know, I think that everybody out there, I want everybody to try and do a fun fly at their local field. I don't care if you think when I did my first
one. What do you mean do, like organize?
Yeah, organize, but it could be, when I did my first one at Trax, which was, God, this is.
What is Trax?
Trax, Tampa Radio Control Aircraft Control Society.
Society with a C?
Yeah, you know, Trax, with an S at the end, right? So anyway. Anyways, they told me, oh, you're only going to get 5 or 10 pilots. You'll never get anybody or whatever else. So I said, I'm going to do it anyway. So even though it's an airplane club, you know what? We got, I think my first year, we had like 22 pilots or 23 pilots. And I was thrilled. It was a place for everybody around the Tampa Bay area to come and fly just helis. That's mm-hmm. what was all it
and
was.
And so how many pilots did you end up having towards the end?
Towards the end, I ended up with 76, which is not, I know, like an OHB kind of thing, but that's 76
pilots.
No,
that's solid. That's solid. That's good. You know? That's really good.
And I think that that's what we all have to get back, because you know what? Like, if I or James, let's say logo guys, so you bring a couple guys from work or a couple guys that you know that have never done it before, and they see it, and they're like, damn, I need to get into that.
That's important, too. That's right? A good point, because nowadays people, unfortunately, a lot of people have a tendency to bypass the local hobby shop.
Yeah.
Because when they think of something that flies in a small area and it's easy to fly and it hovers or whatever, they think of a freaking drone. So they go to Best Buy, they go to GameStop, they go to Amazon, and they buy a stupid drone. They push the button, it flies itself, it lands itself. They get bored after three weeks. And they put it away, or they sell it on eBay, or they stock it in the, put it in the closet, and it's game over. Those people bypassed the hobby shop.
Sure.
So they never got into the hobby. So when we do an event or go to a local event and we tell our buddies, even if our buddies never get into it, at least they get a chance to see it. And out of five buddies, maybe one will get hooked on it and become part of the hobby. Yeah, yeah.
Maybe one. And, you know, with me, listen, I suck at flying. You all know that have seen me fly, I suck. But I enjoy it. I love the wrenching. I know Kyle loves wrenching.
No, you don't Bert suck. You just had the most spectacular crash I've ever seen.
I do have the most spectacular crashes. But anyone that didn't see Kyle's spectacular crash at HOD last weekend, you need to YouTube it. Is it on
Facebook?
My crash was great a couple weeks ago, but that one was spectacular.
All right, next topic.
Okay, but my point is, you need to get your local people involved, and we need to get the hobby back to where it is. And I think Fun Fly, you guys know how I feel. I'm very passionate about the whole Fun Fly thing. Gets everyone together.
Hold
on real quick. Just jumping back. You said that videos don't do anything justice. Yeah. If you were at HOD and you saw my crash, you felt the helicopter hit the ground. Okay. Boom. The video does not do it justice. Okay. Mr. Hook.
So how does it compare? You're a car guy. You go to car races. And our audience has no idea about car races. Some of them might, but most of them don't. How does a helicopter event compare to a car event? I know you're going to say car events are better, blah, blah, blah. No, but realistically. No,
you know, I mean, I do both. And I don't know. I think it's close. It's close to the same as far as the social aspect of it. A helicopter event, because you can fly anytime you want, you get a lot more radio time. Where a car event, you're limited, right? Because you only have certain times you can race. So you spend a lot of time sitting around with buddies or wrenching, but a helicopter event, you can go as much as you want, you know? And yeah. I think that's one of the cool things about helis, and you're around, you know, let's face it, there's a lot more car people. So there's a wide genre of people that do it, where helicopters, you're finding somebody that likes something that you like. How am I trying to say this here?
It's the same interest.
It's a little rarer group, you know. It's not like, you know, you go to an airplane field, you fly airplanes, you're around other guys that fly airplanes, whether they fly a Warbird or a 3D plane.
And most of them are 90 airplanes. Years old, by the way.
You know, at a helicopter event, you find somebody that sounds bad, but maybe as weird as you are, likes the same thing. And so, that's kind of hard to find.
So explain to us the difference of, like, the camaraderie. Like, I've only been to one car race, and, like, kind of seeing the pitting, seems like the car guy's a little more separate and the heli guy's a little more together. Is that just the race I went to, or is that, like, a standard sort of thing?
Nah, it's like anything else. You have cliques, and you have teams, and, you know, sponsored people would, you know, pit with other sponsored people, and you don't get out really and walk around and go, you know, you have a job to do, and that's to work on your car and to race. So you're kind of right there. You know, you saw me at,
yeah,
I didn't really leave my pit area and, you know, actually, the only time I left my pit area is when you were there and we walked around. So, yeah,
right.
The social aspect of it is probably not as much as a helicopter event, mm-hmm. right? Because,
sure.
And it's competitive, and that brings out a whole different nature in people as well.
Yeah, you know? That's fair. It's kind of like a heli competition, like XFC. You know, we were together, but it was kind of like, I'm doing my thing, you're doing your thing, and that kind of seemed like the car race was kind of...
Well, I mean, when you go to a big event like IRTA, right, you have the people from GAWI pitting together, the people from Align pitting together, people from SAB pitting together, and it's like... And, you know, everybody's welcome to come and ask questions and hang out or do whatever they want to do, but they're all together. And it might seem like segregation to other people that show up all of a sudden and never seen that before, but that's a team, right? I mean, your buddies are people that are in the same team with you because that's who you hang with all the time. And you're good friends with Kyle Dahl, you're good friends with Jamie Robertson, but, you know, same with me, I'm really good friends with Bodos and Zabel and people like that, but they're on other brands. So we get to hang out. We might go to dinner together on occasion or whatever, but at the field, we're not literally like together all the time if it's a big event like IRTA.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's usually the way. I mean, that's pretty standard. I think that's normal. So
I think that's normal.
But so with all
that. Say hello. Talk.
Yeah, of course.
Don't we're all human.
You know what? We're all the same.
Yeah,
right?
We're all human.
All these guys are super down to earth. They're super humble. They'll answer any questions. They'll hang with you. Okay, so before we go, Gator, so what is this thing that some people ask? What is a pre-flight? This is tough. Okay, this is a tough one. Don't do this at home, kids.
This is
something that I personally don't do. Only Gator.
And I will explain what pre-flight is. About 10 years ago, my brother and me, we started flying. And my brother had a 90 Raptor. I had a 30 Raptor. And I still shake when I fly. But I was really shaking back then, right? So my brother says, hey, yo, listen, you got to do take a little nip of this and it'll calm the nerves a little bit, right? So I take a little nip.
And
this was a little bit of a flask that my brother and me, we drink Crown Royal. So my wife, God bless her, she says, she gets me a flask, an 18-ounce flask, and has pre-flight engraved on it. So me and my brother started nicknaming, okay, it's time for a pre-flight before we go fly. Now, this was a long time ago. I do not condone drinking and flying.
Just absolutely so not. Knows. No, it's unsafe. I agree with you. I agree.
The two do not go hand in hand, but this is when I was stupid 10 or 12 years
and,
ago.
Well, and it's all also about common sense, right?
And it's about common sense.
So tell us about the Jabuvinator.
So, the Jabuvinator. Now, I believe that when you get up in the morning, okay, the sun comes up, God is saying, good morning! And there's nothing better than vodka and orange peach mango. I will tell you all what the Jabuvinator is. Vodka and orange peach mango. Makes the perfect breakfast drink. But you can have a breakfast drink, then you wait 3 or 4 hours before you go fly.
And then you fly.
Yes.
It's like driving, right?
Exactly.
If you have one strong Jabuvinator at like 7:30 a.m.
Absolutely.
Then by 11 or 12, you're fine.
You're good to go.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
You can't have 10 or 12 Jabuvinators
and then go fly. No, that's
not
stupid.
A safe
thing. What's the ratio on the...
The mix.
Yes.
The mix.
I would say you need at least a 50 to a 75% vodka to 1/4, okay?
To 1/2.
To 1/2.
Yeah.
80/20.
Okay.
Of the orange
juice.
Peach mango. Now, I think it's Tropicana. I'm not sure who makes it.
No, it's a specific brand.
I think it's Dole, right? It's
Dole.
Dole.
Yeah,
Dole.
Yeah.
Mr.
Orange
Stacey.
Peach mango.
He knows it all.
Nice.
Orange peach mango. Yeah.
So.
Bless.
Nice. God bless you, Gator. Love it.
They are delicious.
Yeah, you really gotta love it. Yeah.
Come see me and I'll hook you up.
So at the time of the recording, we're getting ready for our SAB first year anniversary party. By the time you guys listen to this, I hope you would have enjoyed. Maybe one of you was the lucky winner of one of the little prizes we're giving away this weekend. We'll do probably another recording in the next couple of days. We have a few people here. We have Gator, of course. We have James Van Hook. We have the Cooks, John and Justin.
Yeah.
Who's coming? Uncle Ron is going to be in
the house.
Uncle
Ron. He's on an airplane right now.
So, Ron. So we'll have... This will be fun. This will be small, but it'll be fun.
It'll be huge.
And it's actually a little fun fly, right?
It's a little
Saturday
fun fly. We're going to a little field Saturday. Yeah, I think it'll be cool.
We're going to have a blast.
Yeah. Yes. So thank you, everybody, for listening.
Thank you very much.
So, Gator...
Yes,
you
sir.
people can find you where? On Facebook, if they want to get a hold of you?
Facebook, yeah. Michael Gaeta.
Or Michael Gaeta. Gaeta.
Gaeta, you can put in Gaeta. G-A-E-T-A. Or Gaeta. Gaeta will pop up too.
Yeah, and buddy. What about you, there. James?
Yeah, same thing. Facebook, James Van Hook. Instagram, nice. Twitter.
Instagram?
Instagram. Nice. Snapchat. Oh, my God. Snapchat. You, Kyle? He's getting older. He's getting more advanced.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
Facebook.com/KyleStacyRC.
What about your Instagram?
Kyle Stacy. It's more of a personal Instagram. So if you make the cut, you're pretty fancy.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah. So lucky, it's private, man.
It's cut. For my, yeah, you know. Anyway, next, Bert, what are you doing?
Facebook.com/BertRC. Instagram.com/Bert_Kammer. Yep. I think it is.
Yep.
So thank you, everybody, for listening. I said watching. I didn't say watching this time. That's right. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Listening, yeah.
Oh, thank you. And I appreciate you guys having me on.
Yeah, thank you, Gator. Thank you, James.
Yeah, yes, thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Kyle.
Yo, thank you, Bert.
All right. See you guys next time.
See ya.
Later.